We want to thank our brothers for leading us this morning in song, scripture reading, the Lord's table, and all that we've done thus far. And we've come to that point. First of all, I don't know what it is George gave me, because what he gave all of us. There's a lot of us out here with sore throats, and I hear you. I hear you. It's that change of season, and was it 44 degrees or something overnight? What's going on? Yeah, in the daytime, you're walking around without nothing, and you got to turn the heat on. And anyway, it's my struggles. It's my struggles. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Haggai, chapter 1. See, I hear you. I hear you. Haggai chapter 1. We want to look at verses 2 through 8. And but before we do that, I just want to, I think he just stepped out, but I wanted to welcome Seth Cannon and his family to this area. I think I'll do that when he gets back in the room. That might be a little more appropriate. But I want to thank the brothers who came out on yesterday to help him move this stuff into this house. Some of us are feeling it this morning, but it was good to be a blessing to someone else. Amen. Haggai chapter 1, verse 2 through 8. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. And then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes but are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, help us, Lord, to look at Haggai and their situation and to see in their situation ourselves, to see you, to see your desire for each of us, and our desire to do your will. Help us, Lord, as this word comes and to challenge us and to help us to see ourselves, to help us to consider our ways, our walk with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Haggai lived around 520 BC, shortly after the Babylonian exile. And of course, in this exile, before Babylonians came, they raided Jerusalem. Can somebody please get me a cup of water somewhere? Thank you, Boyd. Things had been torn down. The walls of Jerusalem, the temple. There had been attempts to go back and to start rebuilding. And while the rebuilding process had started, it was not complete. And if you think about it, the temple was their identity, how they connected with God. Man. And it symbolized God's presence with his people. And so the desire was, there was an intent, when, as they started coming back, there was a lot of emphasis placed on rebuilding the temple, on rebuilding these places of worship. However, they started the process but didn't finish because they got sidetracked to doing their own things. And he comes, Haggai is given this role, a responsibility to speak against these things, to correct. And thank you, my brother. Appreciate you. I don't know how you transform from boy to you. Like, it's weird. Thank you, brother. Now, y'all watch me now with this, all right? Haggai comes with a role to correct. You know, being a prophet at this time, It had to be very challenging. I mean, you're charged with, I mean, even myself as a preacher, sometimes as we're giving the word of God, recognize we're giving the word of God. This isn't my word to give. It's the word of God that we're sharing with one another and declaring to one another. And if there's a sting that takes place, it's a sting that comes as a result of the word. The word is intended to correct and to rebuke and to change each and every one of us. It's corrected to go in deep and to help us to see ourselves. And so Haggai is called to confront the people, to tell them to come back, to refocus, to put the priorities in place once again. And I was thinking about this very scripture in 2 Timothy 4, 1 and 2. It says, in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. This is the preacher's charge. This is the teacher's charge. This is the Christian that is to declare the very word of God. The charge in verse number 2 is preach the word. Be instant, or be prepared in season and out of season. This means that you're going to preach it when they want it. You're going to preach it when they don't want it. You're going to preach it when it sounds good and tickles their ears. You're going to preach it when it causes somebody to kind of even get upset at that word, because the word is pointing out something that needs to be pointed out. But he says, preach the word. One thing I recognize, our power isn't in our style. My power isn't in my intellect. My power isn't in any of that. It is in the word. And I've shared with you many times how, you know, even in my brother, I've shared the story about Kamal. I'm not going to tell it again. But y'all remember the story about Kamal? I thought it was my style. It was my power. It was my thing. And when I had to shut up and not be able to teach and someone else take over, and I'm looking at them going, you're not doing it right, bro. You're not teaching them right. You're not, and he's not getting it. I don't think he's even getting it. And then all of a sudden, he's ready to obey the gospel. It taught me it's not my power. It's not my plan and how I lay out the scriptures and all. It's the power of the word. Preach that word. Be instant in season, out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage. Think about this. There's an encouragement even in a rebuke. Sometimes we hear rebuke. You go, oh, first of all, we shouldn't be doing this when we rebuke. That's not the Christian way. But we ought to be serious, and we ought to confront, and we ought to look at situations and not bury our head in the sand and confront the things, because if we don't, what happens? They grow, it grows, and sometimes it becomes unmanageable because we never said something early on. We have to preach the word. We have to be prepared, regardless of the timing, correct, rebuke, and encourage. There's an encouragement in this whole process with great patience and careful instruction. I mean, I'll just say this. Everybody shouldn't be rebuking. Let me just say it like that, because everybody doesn't know how to do it. But those that are charged with such, we need to recognize all these things come together. I want you to let's look at each of these statements, and I want to start out with this very first one, because he says, first and foremost, consider your ways, right? This is what the Lord God Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house. The word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. Is it time for yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains in ruin? Now, this is what the Lord says. Give careful thought to your ways. King James says, consider your ways. As we're looking at our own lives, as we're looking at our own devotion to God, one of the greatest things that we can do is consider our ways. Take a moment to self-reflect. Where am I in the Lord? How close is my relationship with the Lord? Am I walking with the Lord? Am I serving the Lord? Am I actively engaged in the Lord's purpose? And if not, why not? And I want to go a little bit beyond. It's not just showing up for service. That's your reasonable service. I mean, that's just the very minimum, just to be present. And even that sometimes is challenging, right? But that's just the bare. That's just you coming to your members' meetings, right? That's just you. But there's so much more that goes on beyond that. And what we ought to start doing is, once again, this is a call to look at our priorities. Look at our priorities while we're off doing this and doing that, and which we have to do. So you have to work. You have to, you know, be able to have time for recreation. You have to have this and that. But all you know, the very first thing we need to do is put God in his proper place in our lives. Everything we do ought to be a reflection of our connection with God. And so let us consider our ways if we're walking contrary. Second, recognize what it says here. You have sown much and harvested little. He gives us illustration of success that's just wasting away. You've got this bag of money. And he says that all the things that you go ahead and you get, it's like, let me go. Oh no, what did I do? Hold on, I didn't press something wrong. Well, we're gonna go all the way back and forward. Y'all wanna sing this again? All right. Here we go. He look at verse 6. He says, you planted much, but you harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You put clothes on, but you never warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Jesus told us that God cares for us. Then he starts pointing to nature. Look at the grass of the field, right? Look at the birds of the air. Look at how God provides for his creation. And the very unique thing that we have is this intellect that we have, but that's also the very thing that often gets in our way. We think sometimes we can outthink God. We think sometimes that we're smarter than God. But yet he says, and this is the other thing, we think that success is in our hands. If only I work harder, if only I do more, if only I, and then there you have the problem, that ego, that it's about me, and it's never about us. It's always about him and his glory, and Jesus shared with us that God takes care of all of nature. The birds don't fret, God provides. The flowers in the field, God provides. God is the provider. And so Matthew 6:33, seek ye what? First who? The kingdom of God and his what? And his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He's saying, prioritize me, place me first, put me in my proper place, and blessings flow from me being in my proper place, because ultimately success comes from the Lord. The Lord is the one who elevates. Ask a few people, ask Noah, ask Moses, ask Joseph in the prison, ask the old men of old, the prophets of old. God raised them up. Noah said, I can't. God said, yep, you can. Joshua, I'm with you. Right? I mean, and we can just go on and on and on. It's all about him. He gives the success, especially when and when we prioritize him, when we place him first in our lives. It's the best success that we can ever have. There's a peace that can come when I'm in alignment with God that cannot come. I don't care how much millions of dollars you have in your bank account. You can be a millionaire and miserable. Somebody said, well, let me try to find out. No. God is seeking and desiring that, that we would have this, this close relationship with him. But as I was stating, sometimes our intellect gets in the way. Sometimes our ability to be able to choose, that free will, gets in the way. Because we can choose to say, no, that's all right, Lord. Or not now, maybe later. Or close our eyes to what he's doing and where he wants us to go. And just pretend for a while that it isn't important. But he says, look, you've planted much, you've harvested little, you eat and never have enough, you drink, you never have refill, you put on clothes and you're not warm, you earn wages only to put in a purse with holes in it. This is that very principle of sowing and reaping that he's talking about, that we've heard in Galatians 6, 7. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And notice it says at the very beginning, God is not mocked. Take this to the bank, in other words. Take it to the bank. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, and the thing with reaping and the laws of sowing and reaping, you plant today, you're going to get and harvest later on. But it's not going to be an instantaneous harvest. And sometimes that's our very challenge, the fact that we want when we want it, how we want it. We already described what success is in our own minds. And many of us, it's got digits and numbers. And we live in a gated community and we're far away. Whatever success is in your mind, you know, sometimes that picture in our heads can be a barrier to our relationship with God. Because I'm striving for this, and in order for me to strive for this, if this is what I think is most important, Jesus said this, no man can serve two masters. Right? He either going to love the one or hate the other, hate the one and love the other. No man can serve two. He said, let me be the one that you're following. Follow after me. And here's the beauty about God. He knows your needs. Jesus didn't say, well, you know, if you just keep asking. No, he already knows your needs. He already loves you. Look at nature and how he provides for nature. Aren't you greater than these? You're greater than the animals. I know somebody would fight up. No, you are greater. God created us differently than the animals. You're greater than the birds. You're greater than the grass of the field. And because you're greater and he provides for them, how much more would he provide for you as his child? But we have to put him in his proper place. And if you want true success, it doesn't come with the material gains of this world. It comes with satisfaction knowing that I am in Christ. Christ is in me. He's washed me. He's added me to his body. He's now allowed me to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm secure in my relationship with him. That's success. That's success. Growing and living for him. And then he says again, consider our way. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. Thus says the Lord. In other words, you're looking at where you are. You're looking at what you've done. You're looking at what you hadn't done. But now is an opportunity to consider your ways to do something different. See, repentance is what? Godly what? Godly sorrow. But it doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop godly sorrow. Godly sorrow that leads to a change of action. Godly sorrow. See, godly sorrow just isn't enough. Oh, I'm so sorry. Imagine someone comes to you, they're so sorry they stole your TV. Okay, amen. I'm glad you're sorry. Could you please return it? Thank you. Some action would be nice. Amen. I'd like my TV back. Right? So you need to be sorrowful, but also, what are we doing? This is our opportunity to consider our ways, to have that moment of reflection, to be able to assess where we are in our walk with God, where we are in prioritizing him in our lives, and then we can set up a plan to be able to change those things. And this is that moment for that renewed commitment to God. You know, he as he's calling us to consider ways, it's to consider how can I do better? How can I renew my relationship with the Lord? Every single person that I know, including myself, has had weak moments of faith in their walk with the Lord. I'm not saying necessarily abandon the belief, but you have moments where you're weak and you're not living up to what you ought to be living up to. You have moments where you're straying, just like the sheep and that are wandering away from God. We have those moments. That's part of the Christian experience. That's part of this long journey. This is a race, but it's not a quick race. It's one that requires patience and perseverance. It's a race that sometimes we're going to fall down. And then when you fall down, you get back up and you dust yourself off and you start back on that way again. This is the process. And it's unfortunate, and I don't ever want to fall, and I don't ever want to fail, and I don't ever want to move in the wrong direction. But the reality is we do and we will. And it's in those moments. That's the encouragement. That's the encouragement of today, is consider your ways. This is your sermon for you. This is my sermon for me individually. To look into the mirror and to assess, is God first in my life? Is something else blocking my relationship with Him? Is something else blocking my service to Him? Is there something else that's blocking that? And then, as we can identify that, if we can see that, if we truly are honest with ourselves and where we are, then that's a powerful moment, really. Because that's a moment of enlightenment that helps us to say, well, now I can at least start trying to attack this. If this is in the way, well, what things can I do to make sure? If I'm working three jobs and because I've got this dream of all this, is there something that I can do and let go of? I want to give you an example of exactly this from one of our brethren. I didn't ask him if I could share it today, but I have asked him before, and he did, so I'm just going to assume he will allow me to say it again today. But Brother Arturo was working a few jobs in order to make the money that, you know, he needed to make for his family. And he recognized that it was blocking his ability to serve. He wanted to be at the food pantry. When we still had the food pantry, he wanted to come and to work and be able to help out. And yet, because he was always working, he felt bad about that situation. But he knew also he needed to make some more money. And he made a decision. I remember him come to me and say, "Bro, I'm going to just let go of this job." He said, I don't know how we're going to make it, whatever, but, you know, I'm going to do it for the Lord." And it wasn't like one of those, "Lord, if you do, I'll do," or, you know. No, it was, he made a decision for the Lord. And in that decision for the Lord, I mean, I've been seeing, this has now been a few years now. Since that time, he's purchased a house. Since that time, I've never heard him asking for anything great or anything like that. Matter of fact, when I've spoken to him, he shared with me that, wow, first of all, he can breathe a little bit more. Money and your sanity, you know, sometimes going after and all that, and you trying to burn the candle on both ends and all that, and you know, and it's going to wear you down eventually. And so sometimes peace, all right, is a little bit better than going after all the strife of just trying to make it. But he's got a house. I don't know if they got a new car, but I know they got a new house. I've been in it. Pretty nice. but the key is, God's been taking care of him. God was already taking care of him before. When he made the decision, it looks like it's even better than it was when he had an extra job. All glory to God for that. I shared with you guys before. There was a time where I had to make a decision to leave the workforce. I had a nice job, and I had to leave the workforce. And in order for me to transition from where I was into the full-time ministry, I had to take a $20,000 pay cut. And I'm looking at that going, man, we barely making ends meet as it is right now for what we had. But you know what? I felt compelled. This is something I felt God was calling us to do. And I'm telling you right now, my wife is right here as a witness. Within 1 month of me taking that job, my wife got a $20,000 increase in her budget, all right? So all I'm saying is, when we prioritize God, God prioritizes us. When we take care of God, God takes care of everybody anyway. But he especially takes care of those that are prioritizing him and his will. And I'm not promising you that the same thing's going to happen to you. I don't want this to be misconstrued. I'm not promising that God is now, just because now I'm going to make a decision, I'm going to quit my job and see what God's going to do. Don't do that. Let's talk about that first, okay? I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, when you put God first, it always works out. Always. And even if you don't get anything more than peace of mind, peace of mind is worth it. It's worth it. Amen. I hope that something was said today to help you to think and to consider our ways. Ultimately, we all desire to be pleasing to God in all that we do. And in moments like this, this is Haggai had to call out the people. We also need to share with one another and challenge one another to consider our ways, each of us. And you know, like I do, I'm here preaching to myself just as much as I'm preaching to you. Lord, help us all. Help us all to consider our ways and our walk before you, and to make sure that we are prioritizing you and your will in all of our pursuits. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for all the ways in which you have blessed us. You've blessed us physically, financially, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, Lord. And we pray that we can use all that we have and give it back to you. Use it in order to encourage others. Use it in order to be the light that is set on the hill that cannot be hidden. Use it so that we might serve others, love others, just like you serve and love us. Help us, guide us, protect us, keep us, forgive us, Lord, of our sins and our shortcomings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.